Accession number 22079, Reel 8.
Mr. Chamberlain, Reel 8. Can you remember anything else about Johnny Eilley?
About?
Johnny Eilley.
Oh, Johnny Eilley. No, I don't know much about him, really.
And apparently there's one man that's not on the photograph, Jim Britton. What do you remember?
Oh,
about?
Cliff Britton, that was it. I couldn't think of his name. No, he went away, I think, to hospital with his leg. You know, very bad leg. And I don't remember seeing him again, really, after that. I can't remember him being on the march with us.
Now, according to Mr. O'Sullivan, four of the men on the photograph, or four of the men in the group, left you before the end of the war. Do you remember anything about that?
Well, if I do, I can't remember anything really. But and did he say the names?
Apparently Sangster and...
Sangster.
Two or three of the others, Woolley and Joe Washington, they were sent to another camp, to a work camp somewhere else.
I don't know. No, I don't know recollection. I can't bring that to mind, really.
Now, we talked last week a little bit about your clothing situation in Germany. Could you talk a bit more about that, the fact that the clothes that they issued to you?
The clothing?
Yeah.
Oh, we had our battle dress. You know, we was not caught in, we were caught in KD kit. That was for the desert. And then we got all sorts of clothing in Italy. Oh, the great big Cossacks and all sorts of uniform we had.
That was in Italy?
In Italy. But when ours come through for our own uniform, we had our battle dress again. And in Germany, we had our same battle dress that we had. And I weren't there long enough to wear them out, really.
Could you cope with the German winters?
Winter?
Yeah.
Ah, yes, they were a bit severe. Oh, I'll tell you, mate, back to the dress. In Germany, we wore what they call pantoffels. And they were like a wooden sandal and a bit of canvas over the top. And I used to walk about in these. We thought we'd never get used to working in these. But we did, we managed it. That was in the factory, but not outside, to change our boots to come out.
So you still had your boots?
Yes, we still had our boots, yeah.
Now, apparently there were French prisoners of war in the village as well.
And the other... They weren't with us, they were in their own lager. But we used to see them now and again.
Did you know anything about where they were from or what they were doing in the village?
They were doing farm work, I believe. Yeah, I think it was farm work they were on.
Did you ever manage to trade with the French?
Hmm?
Trade
with it?
Trade, swap.
Oh, no, unless they did at the brickworks. But Alfie and myself, we didn't. But, you know, you could get... I don't think, I don't think the Germans had much to give in trade for trading with.
Did anybody think about escaping?
Oh, it was talked about. Oh, do this, what have I got? But in Italy, they tried it more than we did in Germany. What's usual, we only brought back next day, which they were. You know, I know in Italy there was all empty cans from parcels. Imagine, there'll be a train full of railway truck full of all tins that had been emptied out by lads from Redcross parcels. And somebody had the bright idea of getting underneath these tins, two of them. They got buried underneath these tins and put all the old tins on top of them. And but next day they come back, plastered up with stuff from empty tins.
So in Germany, you would talk about escape.
We talked about it, but nobody, not that I know of, they didn't...
Never took it seriously?
Not seriously, no. Now I thought we just settled down now to duration, I think.
And what were you?
One or two took hobbies up here, drawing and painting at night that they could get.
Now, what was your morale in Germany?
Morale?
But when you first got to Germany, what did you think about the progress of the war and how long it was going to last and how long you were going to be there?
Pretty down, our morale was down in 4B. Oh dear, that's why I wanted to get out. Oh, anything's better than this. I went, say, 14 out all day long and night. And you can't stretch out. Oh, so... Anyway, we...
How long did you think the war would last at that stage?
Pardon?
How long did you think the war would last at that stage?
Oh, well, we thought we'd had it for years, really. But anyway, as we got bits of news through, we thought, oh, well, they've invaded and all that, so we won't be long now. Oh, yeah.
Can you remember where you were when you heard about the invasion, the D-Day invasion?
In Germany.
Yeah, but where? Can you remember that day? And who told you?
I don't know where I've been now, really. What was it now? 45?
June 44.
44. We'd be in Germany then, so we'd heard about it then, but as I say, you couldn't get much information from Germans, but lads used to pick it up at Brickworks. They used to come back and say, oh, we've been invaded, oh, we're on our way now.
So some of them must have had access to a radio.
I think they used to get out of some of these elderly workers, you know.
We never had direct access to a radio. What about young Ernst in the factory? Did he ever talk about the war?
Very, very little, but they wouldn't commit themselves to that. It's the finish of them. They wouldn't say anything at all. But we didn't say hooray, hail Churchill and all this carry on. Somebody else, hail Hitler, hail Churchill, and that's who used to do it. Somebody shout hail Hitler at them, hail Churchill.
Who used to do that?
Son.
Who used to do that?
And any lads used to. Until they did it at our place, this young lad, Hail Churchill, and I said, German lad, it's Hail Hitler. Alfred say, Hail Churchill. Oh dear. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned off the tape you had a story about the Germans saying that England was soon going to be finished. Could you just tell us that?
What about it?
One of the Germans said England could put us in there. Could you just tell us that story?
England can put us in there. No. I don't hear tell of it like, but no, they insisted that, oh, yes, England's finished, it's no good. It's okay, we would not hear of it. It never entered our head that we're finished.
So they were convinced they were winning the war in 1943. Yes. When do you think their attitude changed? That they knew they were getting beat.
Well, I think it changed once back at, you know, when we were advancing, Russians advanced. I think they sort of calmed down and weren't so very bombastic about anything. Yes, that's it.
So they were less pushy towards you. Is that what you're saying? Oh,
I think they're willing to help in the finish. You know, when we joined this march. We marched towards the Americans. The Americans come and they marched us back. The Russians come and we marched back again. Mm-hmm. And it finished there. We got into the Americans' hands and they released us.
We'll talk about that then when we get to that. Now, just on a general point, what was the worst thing about living 24 of you in this hut? What do you think was the worst thing about it?
Well, I don't know, really. I think being shut up in Italy.
That was even worse.
That was worse, not worse than Germany. Yeah. Terrible. Not only that, you hadn't enough food for a start-up.
Now, you didn't have access to a German radio. Did you have any access to things like German newspapers?
No, well, we saw them, but we couldn't read them. But Ben Lewis, he used to translate it a bit, and the guard would help him out, one or two things.
Did the guard speak English?
He once had one our guard, Oh no, oh no, I'd help you.
What do you remember? What do you remember about your guard? Else?
Well, I don't know really. He come in on a morning, roused in, that means get up, and just a shout back at him in fun, you know. So, oh, go back to bed. And anyway, he came to wake us all up, and I meant get ready, get dressed, and then he come back again. And we only just live around his place, just around the corner from Fine Farm. And it would be all ready, and he'd get us all, we all line up outside and march to work, which we're doing that photograph.
Did he ever talk about the war?
No. No, I never talked about it. Anything.
Did anybody try to talk to him about
Ben used to have tried to talk, but he couldn't get nothing out of this soldier. Wouldn't say anything. No, I think the great the brickworks, all the news.
Now, Pat O'Sullivan's talked about, you know, your activities after work in the hut. Apparently you had an accordion at one point. Do you remember anything about that?
Accordion in Lager? I think there was something about that, just for anything, but we didn't get it often. Oh, no. Ah, there was a little bit of a sing-song we had, but I don't know where accordion went.
What songs would you sing?
It was.
What songs would you sing?
And
what songs would you say?
Well, it's on them little things, you know, accordion, but I'm fine trying to think who played it. Did Joe? Well, I can't remember much about that, really.
Was there much gambling?
There were more of that done in big camps. Our camp, we didn't do any at all, but in the big camps, they play for cigarettes and such like matches, if there are any.
And apparently you made a dartboard, according to Mr. O'Sullivan.
Ah, yes, that one at Smederberg. I think it was Rolf. That's something to do with making this. He was a joiner. And I think it's something to do with we were making it. And we had it up on the wall. Not for long, mind you, but I think someone got fed up of it.
What did you talk about in the hut?
Oh, anything, any subject that cropped up. But there were no discussions like teams, as they see now on telly, but none like that. No, I think the biggest part was talking about food. Yeah.
What about things like your post-war plans? Did you give any people what you were going to do after the war? Did people give any people talk about that?
So they would say what they were going to do, what they had in mind, and I'd to come back to me fish and chip shop. I had that to see too, and it was my sister kept going all during the war, which is nothing because you couldn't get fish or anything, and I came back at the shop in Leeds. Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that when we get there. So that was, you knew you were going to be doing that?
That's right, yeah. We're talking about how, well, I hopes of going back to it, because we'd only just got it in February 39.
What about the other men? Did any of them have any big plans to do something, you know, any grand plans?
At least I forgot really what they were talking about, really. But
now, did you come into contact with any kind of members of the Nazi party in among the civilians in the village? Was there any?
No. What, civilians? Yeah. No. I think all the contacts were done down at the brickworks. They seemed to get all the gen. See, there's only Alf and I at this shop, and they couldn't talk English. Only the old man, when he was never in hardly.
Now, you're working at this place. You're making these nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
What happened to them after they were made? How were they? Who came and collected them? How did it turn out?
They came and collected. Oh, there might be a plough or some sort of machine at yard that they used to be messing about with. Yeah, I know that. No, they want to reserve a conversation at all with us.
What about the German troops in the village? Were there anybody that on leave?
What, the police?
or German soldiers, the Bartramy Guard?
No, you never saw any, really. You might see one or two once a flood, but it was like, it was a spa, was that's made of it. Very quiet, not so very big.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you worked Monday to Saturday.
Monday,
you mentioned earlier that you worked Monday till Saturday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I work all Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. What about Sundays? What did you do on Sunday?
Sunday, that was supposed to be a day off, but we used to play games inside, or if it was raining. But I remember when this guard, that we call him, this cripple, we worked Saturday, and he brought us home. And he said, look, we won't go that way through the town. We'll cut across this field. It's a great big field. And we're walking in the middle of this field, three of us, Alfie, Gad and myself. And all at once, a fighter come over, and, you know, that letting go with machine gun in us. Again, in the middle of this field. Oh, he says, Englander, no good, no good. I said, yeah, they're all right. I said, they missed us. And we carried on and went back to camp.
Was that the closest you came to an air raid?
In Italy, in
Germany.
Camp.
Mm-hmm. Was there any other incidents like that you can remember?
No, that's about all, really.
What about the general British and American raids? What do you remember about them?
Oh, I could see them going over to Dresden. And
would you still work through an air alert? How would that work?
Always had carry on, yeah.
And did you have a shelter nearby?
No, there was nothing. It was all with nothing like that. And it was like only a village, a good-sized village. Nothing of military importance about it at all.
You weren't afraid of being bombed, then? You weren't afraid of being bombed?
No, weren't afraid of them. They used to go all over us to get to Dresden, and they could do lights flashing, you know, or bombs and that.
Did you ever have to take cover in the shelters?
Well, we should have done, maybe, but we didn't.
So you never bothered?
No, we just carried on, yeah.
Were you aware of, you know, you were in this place by Schmiedeburg. You've mentioned you were near Wittenberg. Were you aware of anything else in the area? You know, any were there any other?
No, I think there was a bit of a landing strip somewhere about. You know, to get to small planes landing, but nothing big.
They were German planes.
Yeah. Oh, they were German.
I mean, other veterans that we've interviewed, Pat O'Sullivan has mentioned a German jet fighter saying one of these things. Do you remember anything about that?
Well, they might have got them down, way down. We would have heard them, but I can't remember. As I say, our machines are clattering and banging about all day. You wouldn't know a aeroplane going over.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've mentioned Dickie Dunster falling ill and being sent away.
Britain was that?
Dickie Dunster.
Oh, he went away with us. Scarlet fever.
Now, in general terms, what would happen, let's say, if you were ill or if you had toothache or something, where would they take you to? How would that work?
Well, the guard would take you to hospital, Togo, a place called Togo. It seemed to be our headquarters, what we get, where mail come from on that. They'd probably go there.
Did you ever fall ill while you were in Germany? Mm. Did you ever fall ill?
Before he was ill.
Did you ever fall ill yourself?
Not in Germany, but I did in Italy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
What about Alfie? Was he all right all the way through?
Oh, yes, just Alf kept on going all right, yeah.
Now, do you remember anything of hearing about the, you know, the so-called plot against Hitler when they tried to kill Hitler? Do you remember the news of that coming through when you were in the village?
No.
So you can't remember the German Germans or anything talking about that?
No, they were, I couldn't. We didn't notice any panic at all with them, really. No.
Now, did you get any parcels from? I mean, I know you got the Red Cross parcels, but were there any kind of family parcels sent to you or any of the other men?
Well, from our family.
Yeah.
No, we never get any from family. We did get cigarettes from. Well, I got them from Leeds. In fact, I still got their box upstairs now. 50, I think, was in, and it had some people from present from Leeds, and that's all that I got really.
What did you do with them? Because you didn't smoke.
Well, Alfie and I didn't smoke, but Alf wanted to exchange it. But then he said, "Oh, he says, really, we're taking grub off them for cigarettes, and grub will do more good than cigarettes now." I said, "Ah, well, it would really, I know, but poor old Dickie, him and Dad, we used to see him picking grass up, rolling it up, and a piece of paper off a tin, and make a cigarette, and he'd be puffing like this, all sorts." I said, "We'll give Dickie one or two, and let him, it'll do him no harm, but that'll harm him certainly, smoking grass and paper off a Red Cross tin of something."
So the heavy smokers?
Oh, Dickie was terrible. Ooh.
Were there any of the others like that?
There would be if they could get them.
So, but how many of, I mean, there's 24 of you in the camp, about how many of you do you think smoked out of the 24?
Well, let's see, I can count. Ooh, there's, I think there's nearly half didn't smoke. Oh, there's Jack, I can know heavy smokers, Jack Kennelly, or the one for puffing cigarettes. He was one. Gabbert didn't smoke. And I think your dad liked to puff at a cigarette, didn't he? He had like a cigarette. But really, I don't know about Sullivan, you know. I don't know whether he smoked or not.
Did it affect the mood of the other men, the heavy smokers? Mm-hmm. Did it affect their mood when they couldn't get these cigarettes and so on?
Well, a bit miserable, you know, a bit downhearted. But I used to darn socks, you know, in Italy. I used to come with a bit of wool. That's from what they call the housewife. They had all wool and needles in. I used to darn the socks, you know, for them. And how much are you going to charge us now? I was looking for a cigarette, and I guess I'll give it to Dickie. Oh dear.
Now, you were working, you know, with these Germans in this little factory.
Yeah.
How did they get on with each other, the Germans?
As I said, there's only these two elderly brothers, and they're both over 80. And Ernst, this young chap, you couldn't talk so much because they're clattering and banging of machinery, but they didn't talk about it. His brother didn't talk at all to us. But Mr. Mueller, the boss, he used to come and talk to us.
And he was one of these two brothers?
Hmm?
Was he one of these two brothers, Mr. Mueller?
Pardon?
Was Mr. Mueller one of the two brothers?
Yes, the two brothers, but the oldest one, I think they called him Georgie or something. He used to speak to us. But my other chap couldn't talk English, and we weren't so very good at German.
Did you notice, as the war went on, did their mood change?
Did they what?
Did their mood change as the war went on?
No, not really. Because, we were moved, you see.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that, but
yeah.
Did you work right up to the point that you did move?
Oh, aye, yeah.
So you're working that day?
In fact, was my hat and my overalls there yet. My peak cap. It's still in that, in the works.
Now, according to Mr. O'Sullivan, that there were kind of two English women that had married Germans living in the village. Did you know anything about them?
Our lands.
No, there was two English women who had married before the war.
Oh.
Who were living in the village. You didn't have any contact with them?
No, I didn't. Well, Joe, he'd have a contact, because he was working in what they call Ratskala, which is like a town hall. and food was provided from prepared there, and they joined them.
Did you never go there yourself?
No, in fact, I never went off our beaten track morning and night, backwards and forwards, and on a Saturday morning, if we weren't working, we'll go for a shower bath down to Brickworks.
And how was that organised?
Well, we used to go, well, I think there were about two or three showers. We used to soon get through, but it was organised at Gart Tucker's, and we soon got a shower there and waited for others to. And you wanted in a, well, it was there, like their canteen. And they waited in canteen to know it all finished. Now we used to march back up to camp.
Did you have any contact with the Germans at the brickyard during this? Did
myself?
Yeah.
No,
you?
I never. I only went for showers, that's all.
So you didn't have any contact with the Germans at that
time? No.
Now, you mentioned you were working right till the end.
Pardon?
You were working right till the end.
Yeah.
Did you get your parcels, Red Cross parcels, did they keep coming through till the end?
When they got organised, they weren't so bad at all. They kept coming in nicely then.
Right into 1945.
That's right. So I suppose we'd have left some food in a parcel, I suppose, I don't know. But anyway, we packed what we could up and fell in outside and started to march.
Yeah. Now, the letters from home, back and forward, did they keep on to the end as well?
Yes, not bad at all, really. Not bad.
So, about how many letters could you send a week, and how many letters, or a month, and how many could you receive?
Well, we didn't send, personally, I didn't send any at all, really, because, there's nothing much straight about. It was all the same. Gone for a shower, went for a shower today, and back to work. We were working today. Oh dear! You couldn't tell them any much news.
What about letters from England? What were they able to tell you?
Oh yes, they used to come. Yeah, but I think most worrying time was when I was taken prison. My mother and father didn't know what had happened, and they got a letter from to say that. He's not necessarily been killed. He could have been cut off from his unit, or he could have been taken prisoner. But anyway, they were like that for 6 weeks before they got to know that I was taken prisoner. That's supposed to be a relief, I think, for them.
About how many letters, letters from England, about how often would people get a letter?
Oh, well, not very often, really.
So what would happen when one of you got a letter?
About one a month or so. You're lucky if they get one a month. I know I got our sent to one home, and my mother kept it, and it all been crossed out. Censored and crossed it out.
Can you remember what you'd tried to tell her that had been crossed out? Can you remember what you'd tried to write that the Germans had objected to and crossed out?
Well, you see, you didn't write so much because for it to be crossed out. But just to say you're all right, even if you wasn't. You just say, I'm all right, nothing to worry about. Yeah.
Now, did you have any contact with the man that owned the stable, the coal merchant?
Who?
The coal merchant that owned the stable, where the largo
was. No, we could see him with his horse and cart, but... We'd no contact with him, no.
Now, according to Pat O'Sullivan, you had a trip to the cinema.
Ah, yeah.
What do you remember about that?
I went down to the cinema, and I think it was Baron Munchausen or something like that, I think. Yes, and there was a bit of a disturbance in there, I think.
What happened?
I don't know, it's got a bit... Bit of a scuffle, and we finished up outside.
You were thrown out.
Oh, so we got no more. That's that first last.
Why do you think they took you to the cinema, the Germans?
I don't know. Maybe it was to show this Baron Munchausen film. I don't know. In fact, I forgot what it was all about, really.
And who went to the pictures? Was it just the British prisoners, or?
Well, we all went in a group.
But were there other prisoners? Were there Russians or German civilians or anything?
Actually, I didn't see any. The rest of the captives apart, I don't know, but I didn't see any. Only our own lads.
So it was just you 24? It was just the 24 of you?
That's right, yeah.